two passages of scripture, which we will not be able to read because of the length, describe an incident leading to the acquisition of the site where God's temple would be erected in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Israel. You see, well, why are we looking so far and thinking so far off? I want you to know that Jerusalem will become the capital of God's administrative organization. And in fact, he's going to send a new city out from heaven, and it's going to land right there where that old Jerusalem is today. So, beloved, God has some great plans, and we have mentioned on this program before that the name of one city is mentioned over 800 times in your Bible. One city, no other city, is not London or Paris or any of those great cities. It is the city of Jerusalem, 800 times plus. So what are we looking at? The first passage we will be looking at is in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And the second passage is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. So this could be your assignment over time, as we wouldn't have the time to read much of it right now, because we will be referring to it in the course of our message. There are slight differences in the two descriptions, but basically they both tell one story, and the story follows a census in the land of Israel and the plague which fell upon the nation. Thousands were killed in that plague, and David was given direction as to how to halt the spread of death and destruction brought about by that plague. And you could look these up in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. David, king of Israel, was to acquire the location for an altar of sacrifice. And that location was at a property owned by one Ornan or Arona. Why I say this is because the two names represent one person. If one name is used in 2 Samuel, Arona, and another name is used in 1 Chronicles, Ornan, but it's one and the same person. David was to acquire this piece of property from Arona or Ornan, and it would become the permanent site for the structure of the temple of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 21 and verse number 22. But let us go back to the beginning of this account. In 2 Samuel 24, and 1 Chronicles 21. It would appear that God had a controversy with his people Israel, and the devil used David to arbitrarily take account of the military strength of the nation of Israel. David's action in taking this count was not at all prompted by God. But nevertheless, it became the means whereby God's greater purpose was to be achieved, namely the acquisition of the site for the holy temple that would have been one of the wonders of the then world. And it's still a site that would be the center or the spot for the construction of a new temple to be built yet in the future. It was not a divine direction for David to take stock of the number or the numerical strength of the nation of Israel. And apparently, he did it with a view of ascertaining the military strength and to check the military muscle of the nation of Israel at the time. Although David made a mistake in so doing, God allowed that mistake to work out for good, for the furtherance of his own divine purpose. The securing of the temple site was the purpose God had in mind. And by a comedy of mistakes, this site was secured from a man by the name of Arona. Let's look at some steps in life, and then I'll come back to the message proper. You know, in this journey of life, there are many things we may not understand. Yet, we have to go through them. We do not understand them, and we may never understand them on this side of heaven. But we must never allow those things that bother us to bother us unnecessarily. There are some things we must leave in the hand of God and to the judgment of God. Leave them in the capable hands of Him who is the Almighty, who is the Omnipotent, who is the Omniscient and the Omnipresent. Take this scripture and embrace it, underline it, memorize it if you could. It's Deuteronomy 29 and 29. I could mention a few things about it, but I just want you to get this from it. Deuteronomy 29 and 29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." Many people are troubled by things they do not understand. And they read the Bible and they find things they don't understand. And they put down the Bible and put it away. Well, I want you to know something. You may not understand it today, but later on, as you grow, as you develop, you will understand it. And don't be puzzled or worried by what you don't understand. What you don't understand is not your problem, because there are some things that you will never be able to understand until you attain a certain age in God. And even after attaining that age, you still wouldn't understand. So what are you going to do? You must not give up, but tell the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand this. I can't put these pieces together, but you know what they mean. And by, you will let me know. And if by and by I don't know, I don't get to find out, I'll understand it when I see you. I will ask you when I see you face to face." We know Israel had sinned against God. And David was tempted of Satan to take it upon himself to number the people. We know also that a plague broke out in the land that devoured 70,000 men. 1 Chronicles 21:14. We know also that an atoning sacrifice had to be offered to halt the spread of the deadly plague. Chapter 21 and verse 18. The altar was to be located at the threshing floor of Arona that David was to acquire at a price at that particular location, nowhere else but at the threshing floor of a man by the name of Arona. God is such a good God and such a mighty God. He knows what his plans are. and he has his people in place. And who knows, you might be a person that God wants to use for the fulfillment of a particular aspect of some plan he has for the kingdom and for the work of God. You can never tell. You should always be in a position where God can tap you on the shoulder and say to you, I need you to do such and such. And you must be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, here am I, use me. But back to our subject. How the Almighty works will remain a mystery. So many times he is at work among us. He is at work in our ins and outs, our ups and downs, and we do not understand. We cannot understand. We see what is happening, but we don't know what is really going on. Know this today. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you neglect him, he will neglect you. Underline that scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 3. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. The mistake of David to number the people opened the door for him to meet with a man by the name of Ornan or Arona, and for David to purchase a choice piece of property for the erection of what was going to become Solomon's temple, one of the wonders of the then world, and which spot today is earmarked by God for a new Jewish temple that will be built. It is a sacred spot. It is set aside for God's plan and program. Unfolding history will not halt God's plan from coming into realization. Time cannot change God's plan. The machinations of men will not be able to change that plan. The legislation from the parliaments would not be able to change God's plan. No world power would be able to stop that plan. How it will come to pass, no one knows. But God knows. He will use whatever is necessary to bring to pass the fulfillment of what he has planned. Such secret things belong to God, and we must stand back and let God do what he wants to do and what he has to do. Many of us are quick to pass a judgment and say it should not happen, it cannot happen, it is not fair. But listen, when God wants to do something, he doesn't have any recourse to revert to you to ask your opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter. He is God. We should let him be God and let him do what he wants to do. That is how faith works. Yes, faith accepts the will and the work and the plan of God as God outlines it. And we need to stand back and say, thy will be done. David is directed by God to go to the threshing floor of Arona, who at the time was threshing wheat, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18 to 26. Surprised, Arona turned around and saw King David approaching. He also saw the angel of God with David. David stated to Arona his mission. In essence, David said, I am come here to purchase this location to build an altar for the Lord. I will give you the full price of the location so that the plague will be stayed from our nation. Arona's reply was swift. It was respectful. It was generous. It was becoming of a loyal and devoted subject to a master, the king. Think of it, for the king to walk up to your premises there in a lonely spot. You are at work, threshing wheat, separating the grains from the stalk. And when you lift up your eyes, behold, it is the king, or the president, or the emperor, or the queen, or the chief of the land. Immediately your heart begins to throb at a quickened pace, and you want to know, what have I done? Why should such a visit happen here at my place? And the king, quickly explained to Arona the reason why he had come. Yes, David said to him, in essence, the reason why I have come is to purchase this place from you. God wants to use it for the location of an altar of sacrifice that will atone for the sins of the nation of Israel in their present condition. When Arona heard that, he said, take it and do that which is good in your eyes, your majesty. And lo, I give you the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood, and take the wheat for the meat offering. And look at the last four words of verse 23. He said, I give it all. Imagine. The king visits him and he said, I need this place, Arona. I will pay you for it. And Arona opens his mouth and he says to the king, take it all, your majesty. Everything, I give it to you. Here is an unconditional surrender of everything to his king, his master, and his lord. It was free and voluntary. There was nobody pushing him. No, his generosity was unrestrained. He offered everything to David free of charge. He offered it to the Lord of David, not for a single penny, but free, gratis, and for nothing. He said, take the property, take the livestock, take the materials, take the merchandise, the grain, take everything for free. He said, I give it all to you. And what is David's response? David said, no, but I will buy it for the full price. And hear these moving words from the lips of the king. Verse number, what is that? That's going to be like verse number 24 of 1 Chronicles 21. David said, no, I will verily buy it from you for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, neither offer burnt sacrifice or burnt offerings to the Lord without a cost. I've heard people put it this way. This is in a nutshell. David's reply would have been, I will not offer sacrifice unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. I wouldn't give to God an offering that is cheap, inferior, of little or no quality. I want to give of my best to my God, and I want to give of my God something that is substantial, something that is in accord with his divine, lofty, and majestic status. Yes, David said, I will not offer sacrifice to the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. What a lesson there for you and to me. It makes me stop to find out, how about my giving? What do I give? Oh, yes, in the book of Malachi, they brought the blind, and they brought the lame, and they brought the sickly animals, and tried to offer a sacrifice to the Lord with it. But the prophet spoke against it and told them they're doing wrong. Why not give to the Lord the best? Years ago, we used to sing a song, give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your life. Give of the Lord the best. God can use trying circumstances to bring out his perfect purpose in your life and in mine. Yes, David should not have been there, but he had made a mistake in counting the people, and God had come down on him and the nation in vengeance, and he had to be there to offer a sacrifice. And the place God pointed out was the threshing floor of Ornan or Arona. Yes, and thank God Arona was there at the right time and in the right place. And David caught up with him just in time, in the nick of time, to save the nation. I said all of this today to say that God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Yes, David made a mistake, and God worked over that mistake and worked around that mistake and caused good to come out of it, because a plot of land has been earmarked and identified for the construction of the Jewish temple that will be constructed sooner or later, perhaps in our lifetime. But God is good, and God is great. And I don't know if any of you may be recovering from a mistake, but remember this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose. What you may be looking at as a mistake, I don't know. But still I know God is able to turn it around for you and give you victory. Let us hear the testimonies and let us get the report so that we can join you in praising God for the victory that has been won. Let us look to him in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for today's word. And we pray that you will cause your people to be a people who will trust you where they cannot trace you, who will believe that you're able to turn things around for them. And whoever may be facing any upside-down situation at this hour, turn it around, I pray, and work a miracle. Send the answer this very day and cause the imbalance, cause the unfairness, cause the overbalancing situation to be corrected. We thank you and praise you because this is how you work and this is who you are. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.